Welcome to On the Record. I'm Mick Hassel, and sitting in the boardroom at my office with Justin Annisman. Justin is a trial lawyer and a commercial litigator, and he is a litigation associate at Mason Kaplan Dizgen LLP. Justin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Great. Justin, you recently had a really fun trial victory that had two amazing issues arise, and love to ask you a couple questions about them. But as background, can you set up what the case was all about?
Happy to. The case was a product liability case, primarily. It was a dump box that had broken at the welds. My client had bought a new truck and had a dump box installed into the back of it. About 2 weeks after they bought it, they were unloading some clay and the dump box twisted at the welds and broke off.
So with that factual basis, I'm sure experts were important. And can you share what happened with the experts?
So we had our expert come in, and there was two interesting expert issues. The first was that my expert coincidentally was related to my plaintiff. And the second issue had to do with disqualifying the defense expert.
Amazing. And how did you get the defense expert disqualified?
So the defense expert, there was a number of problems. First, the defense expert never filed an expert report, which led to some difficulties in me really understanding what this expert was going to give evidence on. This man was an OPP officer for many years, and he primarily assessed vehicle damage on site at accidents. And so my understanding is he was going to give evidence as to the damages. When he was finally called to the stand, questions were asked of him that had to do with the quality of the welding, and I objected. What the judge asked the expert what his experience was welding, and he went on about how he had a lot of experience welding in his garage as a hobby on the side. And of course, I took issue with that and took the position that he wasn't an expert welder, that he was simply an amateur. The court agreed, and he never actually got to testify.
Amazing. So opposing counsel's expert is toast, and then you're left with your expert, who is, as you said, a family member. How does that go over?
So it was a coincidence, because the expert happened to be hired by the insurance company of the plaintiff. And so the insurance company hired an expert. The expert never thought much of the fact that the plaintiff was his cousin. He investigated, provided a report, and we didn't find out about this until 2 weeks before trial, when I'm prepping the expert, and he calls me and says, "By the way, did you know that so-and-so is my cousin?" So really, we had to focus on preparing the expert on what his obligations are. And as the court, an expert's duty is to the court and not to any individual party. And so when my expert was on the stand and was asked questions about that, his answers was, my opinion is my opinion. It wouldn't change no matter who I was hired by. I'm here to help the court figure out what happened. And he gave all the right answers. And even in the decision, the court, that the judge found that he was credible, and he understood what his position was. And the judge liked my expert.
Amazing. And did you have to pull out the fact that he's a cousin in direct examination, or how did that come out?
Definitely came out in direct. It was, in fact, the very first thing I said. This is not the kind of thing you want to surprise a judge with on cross-examination. This is something you want to get in front of right away.
Amazing. And there's a second really interesting issue about this case, and this is a learning experience for me, just hearing about it, but a little known section of the Evidence Act helped you out. And can you just explain what happened there?
So the defense's entire case was that they had warned the plaintiff that the dump box was not the appropriate size for the truck, and that something like this could happen if he were to fully load the dump box. So essentially their defense was he was warned and he voluntarily assumed the risk. The problem is that the plaintiff had died in the middle of this litigation, and it was taken over by his widow. Section 13 of the Evidence Act states in brief that that an opposing party shall not obtain a verdict or decision on their own evidence in respect of any matter occurring before the death of the plaintiff, unless that evidence is corroborated by some other material evidence. And so what that means is that they would need to show, either through an employee or some written document, that their evidence, that their conversations with the deceased plaintiff happened. Otherwise, all of that evidence is inadmissible. The defendants in this case could not do that. There was no written record. It was simply a conversation between the owner of the defendant company and the deceased plaintiff. And as a result, all of their evidence with respect to any warnings, any conversations between the parties, never got before the judge. And that defense couldn't have been made.
You knocked out their expert. You used the secret section of the Evidence Act. Well done, and thanks for sharing that with us.
Thank you.